This morning we're in John chapter 11 again, just taking our time going through it. There's so much here. I'm not one of these people that tries to hurry to get through the Bible. I'm more of a person that I feel like it's not how much of the Bible you get through, but how much goes through us. That's what the Word says we're supposed to understand, and that's how we have that closer walk with the Lord. So we'll be in John chapter 11, start back in verse 36 again today. Remember, this is the chapter that Jesus is going to heal, or actually, I guess you would say heal, but he's going to bring Lazarus back from the dead, because Lazarus has been dead. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. And so Lazarus is going to be in that tomb. And Jesus loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And so he's going to bring them up. He's going to bring Lazarus back. And it's amazing, because we've seen all the miracles that Jesus has done. We've seen that he's healed the blind man. He's healed a man that was sick 38 years. He's healed all these people, and he's done all these miraculous signs. But today we're going to see the ultimate sign that Jesus is going to heal Lazarus, bring him back from the dead after he's been in the grave for 4 days. So let's look at verse 36. And I want to just back up to verse 36, it says, or 35, it says, Jesus wept, and then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they might believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. So when we get to verse 35, we see Jesus in his humanness. He weeps and for Lazarus, and like I said last week, I think he was weeping not because Lazarus was dead, because he's going to heal Lazarus. He knows he's fixing to bring him back up out of the grave, and so I think what he's weeping about is the effects of the sin, the effects of death, the effects of all the things that he has to put us through just to get us to have a closer walk with him, you know? It's amazing what it takes for us as people to draw close to God. And, you know, sometimes we have to whoop on our kids pretty good to get them to do what's right. And I think God has to do the same to us. He has to put us through a lot of things sometimes just to get us to understand who He is and how much He loves us, and to draw close to Him and have that close walk with Him. The Jews says, see how He loved him. And they really don't understand. They see the weeping and they know that He loves him. And this is actually the third time that says that Jesus loved Lazarus. In a way they understand, but they really don't get the whole picture, as we'll see in a little bit, because some of them say, see how He loved him, and then some of them say, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? So there's a belief and there's knowing that Jesus loves them, but then there's also some who say, you know, they doubt and they wonder why Jesus allowed this. And you know, a lot of times we wonder why Jesus allows some of the things in our lives, why He puts us through some of the things He puts us through. But you know, remember, it's always for our good. It's always so that we know Him better, that we draw closer to Him. And we just go back to that verse that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purposes. So He allows things in our life to draw us closer to Him. Verse 38, it says, and Jesus again, groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. Now I think in a way this time He's kind of groaning because of the unbelief and the people, the way they're acting. He's, you know, he was weeping because of the effects of the sin and the trouble that these people have gone through. But now I think here He groans because He's upset because these people have this unbelief, and Jesus knows that they really need to believe, but He knows that they're not going to. There's certain people that won't believe. And we'll see that before this story is over. We'll see some believe and some don't. That's the way it always is. Some believe and get happy, and some don't believe and they get mad. And so that's the way it always happens with Jesus. And so Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Remember, they usually either had a hole in the ground and they put a stone over it, or they had a cave and they would dig back into it or find a natural cave and they would roll a big old stone over the doorway so that animals couldn't get in, and it would also keep some of the smell out. So Jesus said, take away the stone. Now, like I said last week, Jesus could have just flopped that stone up in the air. He could have just, you know, made it do flips or whatever. But Jesus, He uses people. He doesn't always do a miracle when He can allow us to help Him. You know, it's an amazing thing to me that God allows us to be part of what He does in life, right? I mean, when, you know, it might seem like a small thing, but He asked them, where have they laid Him? And then He asked the people to take away the stone. Now, he could have known where Lazarus was at. He could have took the stone away. But He allows us to participate. And that's the way it is in life. God always works, but He wants us to work alongside of Him because He wants us to have the joy and the peace and the abundant life that comes from working for God. I just know that God, you know, when you do something for God, it's an amazing feeling. It's a wonderful feeling to know that you are working with God, and when you see God do mighty things because you participated, you were involved, it's an amazing thing. I hope you know that feeling. I hope you have understood that and been a part of that. If you haven't, it's never too late. We can pray with people. We can counsel with people. We can tell them about the Lord. But we need to participate with Jesus, because one day what we do on this earth is going to determine our place in heaven. So Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And I, you know, when you read your Bible, notice something that several times he's called the man that was dead, the person that was dead, this man that was dead. They don't call him by his name, and I think that's deliberate. Because, we sing that old song, it's really not a biblical. The Bible, when we sing that song, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh mine. And you know how in the Old Testament, every time God really worked in somebody's life, he gave them a new name, right? He changed Paul's, he changed Peter's, and he changed their name because they were a new person, a new creation. And so here, he really doesn't have a name because he's a nobody, because he's a dead man. That's a picture of us being in sin and being away from the faith, away from God. And really, until we know Christ, we're really not anybody. Because God wants to work in our lives. And until we trust Him, we don't have a plan. We don't have a purpose. We don't have a reason for living in this life. And that's why so many people say there's no hope. There's no reason to live. There's no anything going on in life. But if you know Jesus, there's a reason to live, right? We sang that song last week, I think. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. And because He lives, I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. Martha says, she wants to believe, but yet at this point she still hasn't really believed because she believes Jesus could raise Him from the dead, but then she's thinking, okay, He's been in the grave 4 days. He stinks by now. The Jews always put a person in the grave the same day, especially over in Israel. Back in those days, they didn't have any of the things we have today, but it's awfully hot over there. And so they would try to make sure they were in the grave the same day. Here they are. And she says, Lord, we don't want to do this. By now He stinks. And Jesus said to her, did not I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He's going all the way back to the beginning of this chapter. What did He say to him when he got the message about Lazarus being dead? It says in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. That's the message He sent back to Mary and Martha. That is the message He sent back. And now He repeats the message that they should have heard. They probably heard, He's going to come and He's going to heal him, but He didn't, and He died, and He's in the grave 4 days. But Jesus said, did not I see that if you would believe, believe what? Believe in Me, that you would see the glory of God. Jesus is wanting to show her something much more greater than just healing a man. He wants to bring somebody back from the dead who's been in the grave 4 days. Let me go back to that just for a minute. Now, in the old days, what they thought was there was some kind of weird belief that they had that for 3 days, that after you died, that your spirit would hang around. Because the spirit kept thinking, well, the body's going to get back up again and it's going to do something, right? And I'm going to come back in and join it. But after the fourth day, the spirit would leave and never come back again. This was just some kind of belief that the Jews and these people of this time had no biblical basis, had no reason for believing. But for some reason or another, they had come to this belief that the spirit would stick around for 4 days. So there's a reason Jesus waits 4 days. Because He wants them to understand, even if they believe this weird belief about the spirit coming back, that the spirit is gone. It's too late in their eyes. There's no way He can come back anyway, no how, no way. And so Jesus waits that 4 days. And so his purposes would be fulfilled. You know, Martha believes, but yet she doesn't believe. You say, well, how can she do that? We do it all the time, don't we? We say, well, God, we know you can do this, or we believe it, but then when push comes to shove, what do? We kind of start doubting, don't we? That's what Martha's doing. She's like, okay, well, he's been dead 4 days, Jesus. What are we going to do? She doesn't know what to do. If we can trust God's will, trust God's power, and God's timing, then we're a trusting soul. Do you know that? We have to look at that. God's will, God's power, and God's timing. Because, see, God works on His timetable. What was that verse? I'm trying to remember. I think it's in Isaiah. It says that His ways are higher than our ways, and our ways are not His ways. But His ways are so much higher than ours, and we don't understand His ways. But you know, here He says, did you not believe, did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? What's the glory of God? Every time Jesus does something in our lives, every time God shows us who He is, His power, His virtues, His excellencies, everything about Him, anything about Him that's glorious and wonderful, which is everything, right? Every time we see those things, guess what? We've seen the glory of God. You go all the way back to John chapter 1 and verse 14, He says, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so every time we see, and He says He's given us grace upon grace upon grace, and that means that He keeps blessing us and blessing us and blessing us. And the things that He does for us, just day-to-day life, as we see that and witness that, we're seeing God's glory. We see God's glory when we look at the sky and the stars. I mean, I heard somebody talking about yesterday, and there's like, they don't know how many billions of galaxies there are out there. Billions of galaxies. I'm not talking about billions of stars. I'm talking about billions of galaxies. And each one of those galaxies holds, we don't know how many stars. They said that the Milky Way, I heard a guy yesterday, he said the Milky Way held about 2 billion stars. So, just the Milky Way. And so we don't know how many stars are out there. We don't know how many galaxies. Scientists can't find the end of all of it. It's out there. And every time we see the wondrous things of God, we see His glory. And then He says in verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Notice he's still called a dead man. So they took away the stone. There must have been some other people there. I don't know who all was there. There were people with Mary when she was mourning, and they followed her. And then Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. See, the moment that He knew Lazarus was dead, He started praying. He started praying because He knew God wanted to do a miracle. He had already got the answer because he told them that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That God would be glorified, and that the Son of God would be glorified. Jesus would be glorified. And so He knows that God's going to do a miracle. And He says, I thank You that You've already heard Me. You know, the Bible says, if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us. And the Bible talks about having that confidence to boldly go into the throne room of God. And when we confidently pray those things that we know are God's will, we know that we have them. And so Jesus knows that this is the Father's will. And He thanks Him for that He's heard Him. Because He's already prayed. He's not praying now. He said, I thank You that You've already heard Me. And that we're going to do this. That You're going to do it. And I'm going to participate. And He says, and I know that You always hear Me. He knows that. But He says, but because of these people who are standing by, I said this, that they might believe that You sent Me. And so he says again that you sent me. He wants the people around to understand and know that Jesus was sent by God. And I don't know if I said this last week, but I looked up that many times that Jesus said that he was sent by the Father. And he says that he was sent by the Father, that he sent me 42 times. Now he says some other ways that he came from the Father and he came down. But 42 times he said the Father sent me. 42 times in the whole book of John. That's pretty important, isn't it? If God says something once, it's important. But if he says it 42 times, he wants us to understand he came down from the Father. He came down to show us the Father. He says the whole reason he's doing this is they might believe that he was sent by the Father. And then it says in verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. That might go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, where it says there'll be a trump, a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And God's going to cry out. It's a loud cry. And he says, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And one man said that if he hadn't cried out, Lazarus, then guess what? Probably every person in the grave would have come out. But he spoke and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Because one day, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, when he says that Jesus comes and that rapture is going to occur, that time when he doesn't come to earth, but he gathers his people from the earth, he cries with that shout and that voice and the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And it says, and then we who are alive and remain shall ever be with him. So there's coming a time when Jesus is going to cry from up in the air, and the people who are dead and in the earth, they're going to raise up first. And then we who are alive, if we're still alive and Jesus cries out, we're going to rise to meet him too. But here, he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth. And he says, he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. And you know, I was reading this section of scripture, and it says here that he said, he who died came out bound and hand and foot with grave clothes. And I tried to figure out, and I looked around, and some people said they wrapped the legs separately, and some people said they wrapped the whole body in one thing, and that seems to be kind of the thing they say with that shroud of Turin that they believe was on Jesus, which I don't believe it was. But apparently he was wrapped so tight with all these spices and all these things they put on him that the only way he could have gotten to the door of that tomb was by the power of God. God brought him forth to the door of the tomb because he was bound hand and feet, and he wouldn't even know which way to go, much less could have walked with it wrapped up like a mummy. And so somehow Jesus propels him to the door, and then it says, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. You know, notice when he cries out, he calls him Lazarus, calls him by his name. And he's a somebody again. And he says, loose him and let him go. Now, really, this is a picture of us being dead in Christ. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins, but we are made alive in Christ. And then he tells us to take off the old man and put on the new man. He tells us to take off the old ways, the old clothes, the old things, the old ways we live, and to put on the new man. And you know what? I think that's what's going on here, is Jesus tells him, loose him and let him go. Because you know what? Our job, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, is to not only take off the old grave clothes that are on us, but to put the new clothes on. You know, it's amazing to me. God will take a sinner. The Bible says, what was that song we just got through singing? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see, right? And so God wants us to take off the old man, because the Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. And when they pulled off those wrappings, what did they find underneath that wrapping? They found fresh, live flesh. And that's what God wants to bring in us, a freshness, a newness, a life, a newness of life. And He wants us to become like Him. He wants us to put off that old dead man, those old dead ways. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that we are dead and that God raised Jesus up for the glory of God. It was the glory of God that raised Him up. And it also tells us in Romans chapter 6 that we are dead. We were dead, but God has made us alive. Lazarus is a picture of a person in sin before they're saved. And when he comes out of that grave, he's a picture of a Christian, of a new person in Christ. That we were dead in our trespasses and sins. You know, when Lazarus was laying in that grave, he couldn't do nothing, could he? That's a picture of us before Christ. But when Christ cries out and says, Marty, come forth. Calls your name and says, come forth. We come forth and we become that new person, that new creation. And we can have joy and peace and all the things that God has for us in life. That's what He wants. That's what we're to become. He didn't save us to stay the way we used to be. I mean, you know, that's like having $1 million in your bank account and then you still go eat out of the garbage cans behind some restaurant, right? But God wants us to be different. That's why He saved us. That we would be like Him. Conform to His image. And so my prayer today is for all of us, as we keep putting off the old man and put on the new man, that we're to have a closer walk with Jesus every day. As we do that, then we will see more and more of Jesus, because we will be more and more like Him. The Bible says in Corinthians that we behold Him as in a mirror. But then one day we will see Him, because we will be face to face with Him, and we will see Him for who He is, because we'll be like Him. Do you know the more you like Jesus, the more you can see of Him? He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And so we need to draw near to God and love Him. Let's pray and we'll close. Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for sending Jesus. And we thank You that we get to be new creations, that we get to see Your glory, that we get to see more of You. Lord, help us to have a closer walk with You. And one day, when You come back for us with that trump, that voice, and the shout of the archangel, that we will be like You, Lord. So we ask today that You would help us to trust You more, to believe in You more, and to just allow You to come, Lord, over more areas of our life, and keep putting off the old man and putting on the new man, that we might become like You. Put off those old clothes and put on the new clothes. Father, we want to be like You, and we want to see You for who You are, as Moses said, show me who You are. Show me Yourself. And God says, I'll show you as much as I can. I can't show you all of me, but I'll show you as much as I can. Lord, that's our cry. Show us who You are and let us see Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I was thinking of that song, "Oh, that will be glory for me, that will be glory for me." I have to look up the number. How about "Glory to His Name"? 34. Let's sing 34.
I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved, be loved to me.
Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by Me." Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, "If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Me." And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.